Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's all right, Brian. We're going to transition over now to the Twitter mailbag portion of the show, where our loyal, lovely listeners turn into the interviewer. First question here, since we were just talking about the receiver issue, I think this will make for a good transition here. Shane is asking us, how many receivers will the Cowboys carry, and who will be the receivers that make it? So are you feeling like Gallup starts the season on PUP, or do you think he's going to – because it, basically the question comes down to, do they think he'll be ready inside of the first 4 weeks of the season? If they do, probably doesn't go on PUP. I mean, definitely doesn't go on PUP.
Yeah.
If they think it's going to be minimum 4 weeks, then he's on PUP. My anticipation at this point is that he doesn't go on PUP. I don't know about you.
If he goes on PUP, I think Houston makes the team. If he doesn't go on PUP, I think that's the switch, because I think they're going to keep Fehoko. I think it's going to come down to me, like, and we'll see what happens though with Turpin, because what if Turpin, and right now I kind of have him on the team as the returner, but what if Turpin gets into these preseason games and he does what Lance Lenoir did? Remember Lance Lenoir? And
muffs the punt.
Muffs a punt, muffs another punt, then all of a sudden he just plays himself off this team. So
that's possible.
I think Turpin has to show that he can be the primary punt returner.
And look, they wanted Dowdle to be the kick returner a couple of years ago.
Right.
If he's healthy, Dowdle could be the return guy in the kick game. And we've seen Tolbert catching punts. And
Right. So
I think they're at least preparing contingencies. Right now, though, I'm leaning to they went ahead and made a move to bring Turpin in here. So I'm going to assume he is here. And he's looked dynamic, shifty out there.
He gives 7-on-7. He caught some balls yesterday.
He gives them something, honestly, that like they really don't have on the team outside of him.
Right.
He's got speed, quickness. He's very shifty.
Right.
So I think six receivers with Gallup off of PUP, but not ready to start the year. I'm going to say Gallup, Turpin, Lamb, Tolbert, and then
Fehoko or Houston.
Well, then you got to put Brown. Noah Brown's going to be on here.
Brown's on that team.
So then it's Fehoko, Houston, or Vasher?
Yeah, that's
Prince
yeah.
likes Vasher.
Yeah.
Huh. Do you dare carry seven receivers?
No, hell no.
Just for the first couple weeks until you can get Gallup back?
Well, the plan is because
if Gallup's not ready and Turpin's not a genuine receiver, I mean, you're talking about having four receivers.
Well, maybe then Turpin just becomes the guy that Bones Fossil fights for and they go light somewhere else. All of a sudden, you're not carrying three quarterbacks. You're carrying two.
Or
you don't go four tight ends. You only go three.
Yeah, okay. So I think we are in agreement of Brown, Tolbert, Lamb, Gallup being on the active roster to start the year. We in agreement that Turpin's on this team?
For right now, yes, because he's going to be your primary returner.
So then there's some handful of Fehoko, Houston, and Vasher.
Who's going to fight for the final spot, yeah.
Yep. All right, next question here comes.
Or it might be they have to go out and get somebody legitimate. You know, if all those guys don't show up at the back end.
And just jumping back to what we talked about earlier about what was Jerry basically saying about the receiver group, I think the point you made, the final point you made is the one that I think it's close to, which is there's nobody here we like.
Right.
So we're going to let them play things out through camp. As we get closer to the season, we'll either reevaluate who gets cut or then determine if we want to give up capital to trade for something.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I just think it's a...
They might have a defensive tackle or two or a defensive end that they could ship for player for player.
Oh, I think I had said this before camp. Quentin Bohanna, Carlos Watkins, Tristan Hill, Terrell Basham. I think you very easily could see three of those four off of this team. And all four of those guys, I think all three of them end up on NFL rosters after they leave.
No question.
Here. And
no
so you've got plenty of NFL players on the defensive line. Vincent is asking for a Terrence Steele update. He says, is no news good news? Make me feel good about our right tackle situation. I know that was kind of your position, is that you hadn't really watched him and you hadn't noticed him much. And so it's kind of, you know, well, I guess no news is good news. I know you got a chance to watch him a little bit more closely yesterday. What were your thoughts on
that? Yeah, I felt like there were a couple of times where, and of course this is going to happen, Michael Parsons is going to expose you for what you are.
Sure.
And
Micah beats Tyron from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought there was a couple of different times. I didn't notice him killing him in the running game. I didn't see when the ball was to his side. I felt like he was into his man. He wasn't holding. He wasn't off balance. I still feel like, though, if we had this one-on-one stuff, there would be the Twitter world would light up with nightmare scenarios of, oh my gosh, did you see what happened to Steele? Oh my gosh, you see what just happened there. So I think they're doing a really good job of protecting him. But again, keeping an eye on him, it hasn't been bad. But there's been, when you see quick pressure at times from, say, Parsons or, say, from Fowler, it's off that right side right there.
Yeah, yeah. Now that is the case, but I think it's kind of the question there. No news is good news. I think in this instance, it's a little bit like an MLB umpire or an NFL referee, where it's like, if I don't notice you, that's probably okay.
Sure. Right.
It doesn't mean he's being dominant or anything else. It just means that it's not standing out. I'm not seeing him fall to the ground. Like we notice when Connor McGovern falls down.
Right.
Or when Josh Ball falls down. And Steele has fallen. It's like yesterday. We noticed Zach Martin falling down.
Yeah. When linemen are on the ground, it's generally not a pretty good thing.
And so I haven't seen a lot of that from Steele.
Yeah.
Which at least is a
that's good, encouraging that from that aspect.
AJ Navarro is asking, pretty good little hypothetical here. Looking at it now, would you rather have Jake Ferguson or Cade York, who has not missed at Browns training camp, including a 60-yarder? After we saw those kickers yesterday?
That's a very good – and I'm biased because Cade York –
good listeners. Good question.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Cade York, by the way, kicked at my alma mater there at LSU. And so, you know, I've seen him make huge field goals. And so, as much as they like Jake, and Jake Ferguson hasn't been terrible.
No, he's been okay.
He's dealing with a little bit of hamstring right now. Physically, he looks bigger than I thought he did at Wisconsin.
I think so, he looks bigger than he did the first week.
I think he's probably been working out that whole time getting ready for training camp. But yeah, I'll tell you what, there's something to that. And if you tell me that I could have a surefire kicker over a guy that's likely now, Ferguson might end up being the starting tight end in 2023.
Sure.
But boy, I'll tell you, if I could have my kicker right now, I'd sure like to have my kicker, because what I've seen from this group so far doesn't give me a whole hell of a lot of confidence.
Which, by the way, back over to the, like, just kind of referencing over the tight end discussion, I thought another guy who did kind of flash a couple times yesterday was that Indiana tight end they liked, the undrafted free agent. I thought Peyton Hendershot.
Hendershot had a couple good plays.
And he got in some 7-on-7 with Dak. And Dak looked like he felt comfortable.
Well, they were short on tight ends.
He had that, I can't remember what route he was running, but he ended up on the far right sideline and kind of, you know, tiptoed in and made
the one thing that Dak, I feel like the Dak and Schultz are back to being, not back to, because they've always had that connection. But Dak seems to know where Dalton Schultz is a lot.
Yeah, and we talked about the other day. That's probably, if you made a say from the 10-yard line, final play, who do you want? You're probably looking at a route for Schultz, knowing how the quarterback trusts him.
And they did.
The mojo moment.
The mojo moment,
We called it. If you guys could have been listening, you could have seen that in advance. Question here from Stevie JPTX. How big of a difference is the gap in depth between the offense and defense? The D seems to have significantly more depth.
They do.
They do, because I think the corners are pretty deep. I think the
safeties
are in a better position than they've been in a long time. Linebacker, we're still not sure.
I'll tell you what, though.
Vanderush has been really good.
He's been really good.
And Jabril Cox has shown up.
Yep.
Parsons has been good. We already talked about the defensive line being deep. So, I mean, they've got pretty good depth across the board. I think all teams are starving for offensive line depth across the league, so I don't know that I necessarily
well,
think
it's a shame that Willetzko isn't practicing because Ball is holding his own right now. But, yeah, I mean, you know, what's happened a little bit with the guard spot, though, we'll see. The backup guard, I don't think the depth, the wide receiver depth is really kind of, nobody's really just, I mean, Noah Brown, we've talked about those guys, but it hasn't been like, man, if Tolbert would have just jumped, if Tolbert would have been jumped
so much better.
If Tolbert would have jumped, then you wouldn't be talking about going and maybe needing a receiver or something like that. It would have been, we're just fine, just keep going. But I'll tell you what, I mean, I think there's more talent on the defense, especially the backup spot. But if you look at, like, okay, for example, say the running back, we talked about Rico Dowdle. You know, I mean, look at him as a third running back right now, and he's playing like he's kind of a 1B.
Honestly, I have seen Rico Dowdle get more carries in practice than Pollard.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's kind of
with the first team offense.
The depth is, I think it overall, the depth is good on defense. On offense, I think it's a little bit spotty in some
Where
ways.
What's the deepest position on offense for you? Is it running back or tight end, probably?
Yeah, I would say that, yeah.
Because they like McEwen.
Yeah.
Ferguson's look good. Hendershot's look good. Sprinkle was solid
I'll
for
tell
them
you
last
what,
year.
The backup quarterback's rush is thrown way too many interceptions. I mean,
yeah,
he threw a ball yesterday too, and it was on that mojo moment.
He threw it to 40.
Yeah, Wanye Thomas.
Yeah, from Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Wanye Thomas. All of a sudden, I'm like, Wanye Thomas is out in the flat by himself, and all of a sudden, Cooper Rush just throws him the ball.
Threw him the ball,
and I'm like, going, what the hell just happened there?
Has Will Greer been better than Rush? I mean, none of them have been great,
I don't think any of the backup quarterbacks have shown me. I mean, Cooper Rush has made a couple of throws.
And Cooper Rush hit the first deep ball we've seen. It was a little underthrown, but he hit Fogo.
But not to the point where I'm like, man, I feel really great about this.
But we also have seen him win an NFL game, an NFL road game.
And exactly, but he's thrown some stupid interceptions, though, too.
Yeah, for sure. It's not been great, but I mean, you know, it's the old Tom Moore line about the Colts.
If
18 goes down, we're effed. We don't practice effed. If you lose Dak, then I don't think it really matters who your backup quarterback is. So, but would you agree with that? Running back, tight end, those are the areas of depth probably on offense. Right. I think that's where it's at. Next question here from Hampton Slays. He says, it seems like Nashawn Wright is outplaying Kelvin Joseph. Is that true?
He absolutely is. He absolutely is.
And that's somebody who we didn't get to see a lot of in the spring practices. In fact, I don't think we saw him at all.
Yeah.
When we'd see him, it was just he was coming out to ride the bike.
Yeah.
He had some injury nagging him. But, you know, we talk about TJ Vasher being really good. He played on last Friday. He played a back fade into the back pylon on TJ Vasher. And Vasher got up, got his hand, and Wright with that length, got his hand up in there, disrupted the ball. What have you thought about him? I mean, obviously, like, the size and some of those contested catchers, but what have you thought about his coverageability overall? He's had a couple picks in this camp.
Yeah, you know, when they were in T-shirts and helmets, they were fourth down, right on the goal line, 4th and 4, and they tried to fit the ball inside, and he was able to knock the ball down. You talk about the length and stuff. I think he's been, to the Texers' point, that he has been a much better player than what we've seen with Kelvin Joseph. I had some questions about him and making the team and all that. Now we'll see when we get into these practices where
with other teams.
Other teams, and we'll also see what happens when we get in these games. But right now, man, he is much better than what Kelvin Joseph has been.
Question from El Moreno. He says, center has been a concern the last 2 years. How are Biotish and Farniok holding up this far now that the pads came on? I haven't noticed Farniok. The only time I've noticed Farniok
is guard
they gave him some guard snaps, and with the pads on, I saw him get beat some on Monday at guard.
The interior of the line has had their problems.
Biotish has had some struggles. Biotish has been on the ground a couple times, but like we've talked about before, Biotish has steadily gotten better the entire time he's been here for 2 years. If you look from game one onward, I think you always see he's steadily getting better every, you know, 4 to 5 games or so. Their biggest issue is we've talked about this offseason. They want to know that he can be the quarterback of the offensive line. They want that football IQ to be there. And I don't think we're going to totally know that kind of stuff. Not us. They may have an idea of it, but we're not going to, I feel like, know that until, you know, potentially we're into the season. Yeah. But Farniak, I haven't really noticed him much other than the guard.
I noticed him more in OTAs and minicamps than I've noticed him here.
Yeah, I think that's the same.
And again, the lack of one-on-one stuff, you're not getting a real feel for some of these guys.
Brendan O'Neill asking, who is this year's Cedric Wilson of the receiving core? Last year, we didn't expect that kind of year from Cedric, so who could be that surprise wide receiver? I think in terms of ability, like their natural talent, I think the only guy who has a chance to, I know you hate this term, the ceiling.
Right.
I think somebody who's got I think the highest ceiling guy due to his traits, to me at least, is Simi Fehoko.
Yeah.
I think Fajoko's the guy that if he, their biggest thing with him is just consistency, but I think you've seen big-bodied guy, a guy who's got pretty good speed for how big he is, a really good athlete, strong hands. I mean, he's a tough cover when everything's clicking for him, you know, really well. I mean, Kelvin Joseph, we've talked about it. I mean, we know he's got his issues off the field and he's got to be more consistent, but he's a very talented. He was a first round type of talent and he's done really well to Fehoko has done really well to beat him really consistently throughout this camp. So I don't know about for you. For me, I think that it's Simi Fehoko is the guy that strikes me as the potential to be a Cedric Wilson type.
I kind of feel like, though, that watching Vasher play, that he's got a chance. If everything kind of comes together for him,
yes,
because of his size, maybe not the all-around player that Cedric Wilson was, but maybe that these, again, practices, games, that they kind of figure out a role for him.
Yes.
And you see him develop a little bit more there.
Which, in fact, I've mentioned this before, that Robert Prince is a really big fan of bigger wide receivers.
Yeah.
And when you hear them out there, these practices, that's one of the things, is that when you get in these position group drills, you can kind of get over there, you can listen to the coach talk. The value in that is you can hear some of their, you know, what they're saying to the guys. He is always talking really highly about TJ Vasher. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted this out the other day. Robert Prince last year talking to HoustonTexans.com when he was the receivers coach, they asked him, what do you look for in a receiver? He says, get open and catch the ball. That means a lot of different things to certain people. If I'm a smaller person, I probably need to create a little bit more separation. He says, if I'm a big guy, I might have someone on me and I'm still open because of my catching radius.
Right.
So that tells you Prince believes you don't even necessarily have to be open to make a catch. And you can tell that he feels that way about TJ Vasher. Final question for you here, Brian. I think you're the perfect guy to ask this question. True asks, can you guys explain that catcher's interference call in the eighth inning of the Rangers Angels game on Sunday?
How about that? That was
for those of you that don't know, our 105 through the fan teammate, Jared Sandlin, we prank called him on Sunday driving back from the Angels game.
Yeah.
And you're now what? Two-time G-Bag of the Day champion?
Two-time.
And I'm so glad we didn't I don't have to hear the Kurt Warner Sluggo video anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have to hear any more of that.
I helped you on that one.
Which I got a lot of questions. You did. I appreciate it. We got a lot of questions from people asking today what a Sluggo is. So, you know, just in the spirit of, like, to say we answered y'all's questions since 5 yesterday. Brian, tell everybody what a Sluggo is real quick.
Slant go.
Slant and go. So you hit that slant, sell the slant. And then
sell it, and then take off.
Hard cut to the outside.
There you go.
Run that go route. Brian, I've enjoyed it. We got one more of these while you're still out here at camp.
Right.
I'll continue to be out here through the 10th, and we'll be remote at that point. But looking forward to see some more of these practices. And coming up this week, I know one of the things that we'll talk about on our final episode this week is an update on where some of these position battles
are. That's a good place to finish for the week, I think.
We'll talk to you guys again on Friday.